Welcome to the Norris Group's Real Estate Radio Show. Hosted by author, investor, hard money lender, and real estate educator, Bruce Norris. Equipping California real estate professionals for tomorrow's challenges.
Hi, this is Bruce Norris. Thank you for joining us. This week and next week, we will be joined by Nick Manfredi. He's the owner of the Short Sale Processor, and he's been an investor now for quite a number of years. Mm-hmm. Nick, welcome to our show.
It's wonderful to be back.
Nick, when did you first get into real estate investing?
Real estate investing, 2001.
2001.
Mm-hmm. So I was blessed. Perfect time to get in.
Not a bad time.
No.
Okay. From 01 to, say, the peak of the market, what would be the percentage of price movement that you probably saw?
I probably saw it double just in that period of time, maybe a little bit more than double.
When did you see signs that that started to shift to a flat market and then to a declining one?
I sensed sometimes I'm a little bit overly concerned. I would say in July 04.
And that was for a pretty specific area. Was it Menifee or
no,
Murrieta?
Yeah, Murrieta. I saw it completely stop and halt in Murrieta. I also saw rents. I couldn't rent a property that was as nice as the house I was living in for $1,350. People, you know, putting up their nose at, I'm not going to move into this thing. And I'm like, wow, wait till it's time to buy it. Mm-hmm. So it was right around 2004. But right specifically, whenever in July, it was the first interest rate increase. I sensed a click. Doesn't mean that prices decreased, mm-hmm. but I sensed that's the first click.
Okay. And it stopped accelerating and started to calm down and then mm-hmm. flatten out. Okay. Mm-hmm. What's happened in Corona, let's say, the last 18 months to prices?
It's like a big balloon that someone put a little pinprick in, and it's just slowly evaporated. Depends on what your definition of slow is, but there's some months where it only decreases 3%. In December, it decreased 8% in 1 month.
When you say 8%, and is that – give me the pricing structure that you're using. Is that a median price, or is that actually looking at somehow this house has really declined, you know, that particular – property? In other words, there's different ways to figure out what something's worth.
Right.
So what's your standard?
Well, there's the BS way, and then there's taking a look at both a combination of the median and the mean of prices. And then there's a third way, which is, you know, some people, I don't think a lot of people are looking at, which is price per square foot. So mm-hmm. on the number of months that you see a 3%, only a 3% decline, you'll find that the individuals that did buy properties, we'll say of 100 properties that sold, the increase in the price per, the increase in the square footage of the home increased 10%. So though you don't see necessarily a price hit, you've got a price per square foot hit that doesn't show up on an economist's flow chart.
Okay. But in fact, they paid less for more.
That's right.
Okay. Are the price declines slowing?
No. They're, in December, it sped up. January was a bit flat in terms of a price decline. And the reason I like to use Corona, you brought it up, you know I follow Corona, is because it's a great median slice of middle slice of California. There's a median income that's pretty consistent with a California median income. And then there's a median price in Corona, which has been very consistent with the median price of the state of California. So it's a good slice to look at.
Okay.
What was your question again? I'm sorry. I think your question.
Have the price declines stopped?
No, they're continuing, and I don't expect that those price declines are going to slow down.
What about the range of product that got hit? Has it been across the board, or has it been sort of harder on one aspect of the price ranges of the other?
I hate to use a cliche analogy. It's every single one of them, though. When you take a look at an iceberg and you only see the top, you know, of the iceberg, all the price bandwidths down below and above are getting hit the same dang way. In fact, if anything, the higher price range properties that the media is sometimes reporting, there's been no hit in this particular bandwidth. Well, let's not talk about the 0.001, you know, status house that's $22 million. The million-dollar homes just aren't selling. they're just not selling. So there's not enough data for anyone to say, oh, it's happening to this price property too. They're just sitting on the market.
And there are a lot of them are lender owned, being, and their asking prices is probably pretty different than the maybe what the amount of money people owe on the next door house. Would that be true?
Absolutely. And here's a little quick story. I bought a property in January 2005 that was I bought for $836,000. I sold it 2 years later. It was on a busy street for $1.4 million. The property that was two houses away has never been lived in. They bought it for $836,000. Today, it's worth less than $836,000. The same people own it and can't sell it. That's how that price kind of increase and decreases, a very consistent home to the one I was living in, et cetera. That's a pretty good kind of mirror of what's happened in Southern California in the last few years.
Did you say it's never been occupied either?
It's never been occupied.
Wow.
There was a speculator, bought it, was feeling its way all the way up, and now he's gritting his teeth every month watching it go down. It will be a foreclosure.
Even though you have only been an investor since, say, 2001, I know you've looked at statistics across the board. Has there ever been a precedent to this price it?
No. I think that there's never been a precedent for the increase in prices that we saw from 1998 to 2005 as well. It's unprecedented increase in price. So for every action, my grandpa knew this. This is very simple stuff. Economists might call it regression towards the mean, which can confuse some people. So what does that mean? What it means is what goes up comes down. And if you push a basketball underwater for too long, pretty soon it's going to end up at the surface. Regression towards the mean, we're all going to go towards what people can afford. That's where we're headed.
You know, in 74 to 80, we did have this market. We actually did. We tripled in price.
Mm-hmm.
And the market following that didn't have a price decline very much, which was unique.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think one of the reasons why was the payment became more affordable because interest rates went from, say, 17% down to something that was even single digits after maybe another 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a feeling that that probably saved the price decline, but we don't have the luxury of that one probably in our future.
No, we don't, and we don't have that, if anything. With the inflation concerns, I expect them to go up. But all of my numbers, all of my expectations are based off of, a regular 6.5 interest rate. So I don't need an interest rate increase in order to achieve what I think is going to, ultimately be my trigger point of buying and holding.
And holding.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Give me an idea of what percentage of homes in Corona do you think probably are sitting in a negative equity position?
Oh, geez.
Any shot?
I would say 80%.
80%?
I will say 80%.
Oh, my.
Now, that part, though, Corona, I don't think is a good barometer or a median type of city in terms of the growth it has experienced. Pasadena has quite a bit more what I call roots into it.
Sure.
So we have experienced in Corona and Riverside County this exponential growth that is going to exacerbate the loan-to-value problems that exist. But other parts of the state are going to fare better because of people that have been in those properties longer and might have a little bit less they've been less inclined to take out big loans necessary to either buy home or refi.
Most of the properties that you bought after 2001, you dealt with the owners directly via a mailer.
Yep.
And now you're doing mailers and having conversations. How's the tone of the conversation changed from the people that owned something that was going up to the one that now has gone down?
It starts out feigned, often like there's not a problem, and then it turns into how can you help me because I'm in deep water, buddy.
Okay.
That's how it kind of.
So the realistic viewpoint takes a while to come out, but then they finally acknowledge that,
sure,
I have nothing left here.
Exactly. And can you help me? And the reality is what I get when we're done is, or I would say midway through the conversation, because I still take some of these calls, is, I, to some degree, I care. I want to do the best I can, but I'm out of here, buddy. So there's just no way I'm going to pay these bills.
Right.
So at some point you get there's a change from what's in it for me to, okay, yeah, there's nothing in it for me. Can you help me to, I'm either willing to help out the lender and do the best job I can or complete apathy. And I can't, with our callers, I can't help apathy, but I can help someone who's willing to help themselves.
Okay. What do you think is coming for California? Do you think we're going to get a recession or already are in one? Do you see deflation in general? What's your economic viewpoint of what's going to show up?
I see for the state of California, not the Rust Belt, not, you know, other parts of the country in Utah, elsewhere. I see a depression in California, an absolute depression. And I think that it's already here. I think that a person that our unemployment numbers, you know, heading towards 6%, or, you know, maybe actually at 6% at this point, are underreported numbers of individuals who are unemployed. And I define personally unemployment as I'm not making any money. So despite the fact that I have a card that says I work for ABC Mortgage and Loan, or that I work for ABC Realty, if you're not making any money, I think you're unemployed. And that those are most of the people who call us, are people within real estate or formerly within real estate.
Have you seen any cities in Riverside County be spared the price hits you're talking about that's occurred in Corona?
No, I haven't seen one that has gotten out scot clean. If anything, for Riverside County and the Inland Empire, it's the, I wouldn't want to call it a jewel, but it would be the one of the nicer upper middle class areas of the Inland Empire.
Do you enjoy living in the Inland Empire?
I love it out here, okay. But you know, we got to be truthful. How do people in OC view us? I mean, they're like, oh, you're way out there. Yeah, I'm about 22 minutes from you.
What's happened to rents during this cycle?
So far, I mean, we're only, with where we're at in the cycle, we've probably only seen rents decrease, you know, marginally, maybe 10%, maybe 15%. So it hasn't hit us too bad right now. I think we're in for a big wallop here shortly, though, on rents.
Okay. So somebody's behind, hopelessly, on the balance of their mortgage. What are their choices, and what do you think you would do if you were in their position?
They're behind on their mortgage payments. What are their choices? Their choices are to stay in the house, try and make enough money to make the mortgage payment. They can walk away from the house. They can do a short sale. There's about three choices. The making of the money in order to make the mortgage payment. Most of the people we talk to, the mortgage payment is in excess of 50% of their in excess, sometimes well in excess, of their gross monthly income. So before taxes, it's even 50%. There's no way. They can't. That's the majority, by the way.
And that payment has changed recently, or is that what they signed up for willingly from the start?
Sometimes it's changed. It's probably 50-50, but they couldn't have afforded it often whenever they got the loan.
Okay.
Not for any length of period of time. Frequently, they got the loan in order to pay payments that they were going to be behind on in the first place. They just threw the money in the bank for a period of time. That was the beauty of the subprime machine that was created. Is, you know, at some point you got to pay the piper, but that had been working for California for the last, you know, 4 years probably.
Okay. Have lenders really started to be open to talking to the borrower and helping them keep the home?
I think that there's a willingness. I think that there's a willingness to do that. And, you know, you've got this lifeline
right.
That the major lenders have said, hey, let's throw this out there. I think that that does wonders politically for some individuals. However, the when you sit down and you look at what the lender would have to swallow, they can't. It's not a matter of are they willing. Sure, they're willing, but I'm sorry, they can't. What this person can probably afford is about what the property would rent for, which is probably half of what the mortgage payment is, and they just can't do that. It'll end up being these loans will end up being sold to mortgage pool buyers, and short sales being done on the loans themselves.
What are some of the misconceptions about how short sales work? And
we still have it, and actually, it's I really love realtors. We work with a bunch of them, but the realtors 7-8 months ago, last time I was here 8 months ago, didn't know about the potential of a of the taxation that could occur because of debt relief. In other words, because there was debt, there was going to be taxation. Well, now, you know, 8 months later, most of them, from what we're hearing from the clients that are calling, still think that that's the case and don't realize that on January 1st, the Bush administration put together the Debt Relief Act, whereby, you know, making the taxation on a property that's foreclosed on, if it's your principal residence, there's no taxation anymore.
Refi or purchase.
That's right. And that's on your principal residence, not if you're an investor and this was an investment property, but if it's your personal residence. The repercussions of that, I don't know how that will play itself out over the next 5 years. But
what do you mean by that? Unintended consequence of now people saying, I can just walk?
That's exactly what they can say, can't
sure.
they? Later days. What's wrong with this? And mm-hmm. I think that there's we'll see how that works out.
Okay. Do you have to be licensed to do a short sale?
You do not have to be licensed to initiate a short sale, put it all together, wrap it up, and then go ahead and have – I work directly with – I'm not a broker, not an agent, don't have licenses, don't necessarily need – don't want them right now. But I work with and I bring all of our business to a reputable broker who happens to be the ombudsman for the local association of realtors. He also his main business is REO business. So by bringing him all of my short sale listings or possibilities for listings, because if it's listed, we won't work with them. We don't want to get it, you know, in between a current mm-hmm. existing realtor relationship. But by bringing those to him, I'm also his first. I have first right of refusal on all REOs that come into his pipeline.
That's pretty sneaky, Nick.
No, I know. I'm one of those guys. I never like just having my hand out of them all. I'll give you this. You give me this back.
Okay.
Quid pro quo, right?
Somebody has to be licensed in the process. Is
absolutely.
That accurate?
Okay. Absolutely. And in order to list the property, the way that we list properties, which is we get close to retail value on every single one of the properties that comes through the short sale processor. And I do need a very good realtor who understands the process to represent this homeowner well. And by doing so, although the homeowner is our first and foremost client, that lender is a powerful client, and we look to serve them to our utmost ability. And every yes, the yeses that we get are most frequently full retail price offers or contracts, and the lenders could not do better than working with us. They can't do any better.
When a lender gets such an offer and they say no, which I guess can happen.
Oh, yeah.
What's their rationale for that one?
The rationale. Today's rationale would be that there's a 23-year-old who isn't compensated correctly to get to say yes, and there's not layers of workers that can handle the massive amounts of short sales that are currently here. So the lender is adapting. The other rationale would be they really don't want to know what this asset might be worth, and they also may have it insured, and they think they're going to get more. Only now might that be a bit, you know, it's coming down the pike that maybe it's not going to be insured.
Yeah, that's why I had asked that question to David Burson. Touching on that subject, if insurance disappears, the lenders have a lot more liability.
Yes.
Have you heard? You're familiar with what MERS is,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the problems of getting foreclosing on a property where you don't have the original documents
mm-hmm.
that, in fact, you are the lender.
Mm-hmm.
That's starting to become a big problem.
I know in some of like Ohio and some of these other states that it's – yeah, I wouldn't be surprised personally if the federal government didn't step in and say, okay, who cares? We're doing it this way this time.
Yeah.
That's kind of silly, and it would actually hurt the same people if the federal government says, yeah, let's consumer alert everybody. You don't have to get foreclosed on. I think that would have – there'd be a problem with even taxation on the properties themselves. That does need to be fixed, and get a good councilman, get Arnold Schwarzenegger in there to fix that, and I think it will go well.
Somebody needs to just put some common sense to that one.
Yeah, they do.
Instead of a pile of lawyers saying, oh, no, I think there's a technicality. Yeah, that's a good idea. do owners have to be a certain number of months behind for a lender to be open to a short sale?
Yes and no. And once again, commonsensically, if you look at it, if they're 1 month behind, the lender and some of the, when I say the lender, some of these lenders are really servicing companies, and they are rated based on how well they keep people paying their bills. However, whenever you're talking about 5 months late and they still haven't sent the notice of default out, they may be showing hesitancy because of the volume, sheer volume that they have, too, is they don't want this dang property back. They're letting sleeping dogs lie. So there's kind of a range. We don't really like to work with too many people. We don't like to work with anybody who isn't at least 2 months late. I mean, we also need to make sure that we're only focused on properties that where the service that we have is going to be of service to the person we're talking to, that they're qualified for our offering as a short sale company.
How are you? I can understand how you find people that are in foreclosure. How do you find people that are just late? In other words, how are you attracting somebody to your system if it's not through a mailer to somebody that's in foreclosure?
A lot of it is word of mouth.
Okay.
I mean, we get probably half of what we the individuals that we work with, maybe between one third and one half, have just been referred from someone else that they couldn't believe that we were doing all this work for free. We don't charge a person $10 to manage their short sale. We only get paid if we're successful in having them avoid their foreclosure. At first, the response can be, what are you kidding me? What do you got behind your back there, buddy? But then once they get to know us and the team that we have, they're like, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And then a card gets sent and thank yous.
That's got to feel good.
It does feel good. I don't like to pat myself too much on the back. It is a business.
Mm-hmm.
It is a business. I get to help people out, but that's just to some degree.
A side benefit type thing. Of course, you're going to do it to make money.
That's right. The people at the within my company love that. They really love that.
What's nice about it, that it really isn't a downside for the owner. There's nothing that was going to happen better for them.
Nope.
No matter what.
Whether if there is taxation or wasn't taxation, if they get in foreclosure, it's actually far worse. They've got a foreclosure, a mark on their credit. A short sale is a settlement with a creditor, and it is far superior than a foreclosure that you'd have to, you know, click or, you know, go ahead and mark a checkbox in your future loan package, you know, 5 years down the road. Yes, I've been foreclosed on.
Mm-hmm.
It's far better.
Tell us about the event that you're going to have at. What's the date and where is it?
It is the 29th and 30th of March, and it is called Grab a Bucket. It is raining short sales.
Okay.
And it is. In California, across the country, it is raining short sales. We've got the absolute first time since the Great Depression that we'll see housing market decreases. And those individuals that adapt well and are able to serve both lenders and homeowners that need their help, there is a tremendous amount of business and profit to be made in that, and for good reason and ethical reasons. So what I'm putting together is a business system. It isn't how to be everybody in a short sale company, which is what most of the short sale packages that are out there, and that's what gets people frustrated and stopping to work short sales and helping out homeowners in trouble. I've got an entire system, a business model that can be incorporated into a broker's office, a unit that he can go ahead and incorporate, and they pay the same. A short sale generally will pay the same, generally, not always, but generally pay the same as any other property. And the broker of record is actually in control of the price, which is really nice when they have to compare that against a bank. An asset manager is 23 years old. It's a power and control benefit to brokers and investors big time. Investors big time, too.
How does somebody get a hold of you, and what is your website?
You can go to theshortsaleprocessor.com. That's theshortsaleprocessor.com. And there's information, phone numbers, how to get in contact with us. You can also come to the group, the Inland Empire Investors Forum. And you can go to IE Investors Forum. Like Forum, like the Lakers used to play at the Forum.com.
Okay. Nick, thanks for joining us today.
You got it.
All right. Talk to you next week.
My pleasure.
You've been listening to the Norris Group Real Estate Radio Show. For more information on the Norris Group, please visit www.thenorrisgroup.com.
Catch Bruce and the Norris Group team March 30th in San Francisco as Bruce teaches his California-only Essentials course live in association with the Global Real Estate Investment Club. Visit thenorrisgroup.com or call 951-780-5856 today for more information.